Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about our privileged position. So stay tuned. Right, welcome back to New Every Day. We are going to jump right back in. Jane Roach is here with us. Jane, thanks so much for coming back on the show again. We're so glad to have you. And last week, we talked about your African adventure. Mm-hmm. So you and Jen and some others went to Ghana, West Africa mm-hmm. with our church family mm-hmm. To fill in the blanks there, Jen.
Go in and survey the land to see mm-hmm. how we were going to continue to partner with the Ghana mission.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And so last week we talked about the series of unfortunate events that happened to both of you mm-hmm. leading up to the trip and then once you arrived in Ghana. And we kind of ended with this question, this little cliffhanger question that was, well, these series of unfortunate events in our lives, you know, mm-hmm. and each of us has these events, are they placed there in our lives specifically by God in order to create some kind of produce or fruit in our lives, or change us in some way, or make us more like Christ? Like, are they put there by Him? Or is it actually the enemy of our souls who is our adversary creating these stumbling blocks in our life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is a great question. And that was something, you know, as we're going through all of these events, I kept thinking, okay, Lord, is this a sign?
Like, right.
Is this from you saying, no, I don't want you to go?
Yeah.
Now, my yellow fever card and my passport, they were my
right.
issues. And I think sometimes we can blame the enemy or we mm-hmm. can blame God, like, for our own stupidity. Because mm-hmm. I really could have, like, because Mr. Ford said, like, do you have your passport? Yes, I have my passport. It's good to go. No, it wasn't good to go. I needed to look after that. He was very gracious to look after that. And then the yellow fever, like, he had emailed us 2 to 3 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And he had kept asking me, do you have it? I'm like, no problem. Right? So God really did show up. So even though I can say, wow, this is such a series of unfortunate events, really, it was I caused them all to happen to myself.
Hmm.
Now, Jane's situation, on the other hand, had nothing to do with her.
Right.
Right? The ice storm had nothing to do with either one of us.
Mm-hmm.
The breaking down of the air conditioner had nothing to do with us. And so when you ask, you know, is this God or is it the enemy? I think it really comes down to that the spirit of the living God inside of you. And what is it saying? Is it kind of like, I want to say, constricting? Like, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Or is it, do you have this internal sense of peace,
mm-hmm.
actually?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
that is called the spirit of discernment. And it was really interesting because as Jane and I were talking about that question, she talked to, well, she had her own insight as to where that discerning can come from.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
So I was talking in terms of spiritual gifts. So when we're in community, we will each receive a different spiritual gift, but collectively we will get the whole answer from the Holy Spirit. So when you're in community with a body of believers, I believe that I can look at something and my lens says, oh, this is the enemy, you know, trying to stop me. But if you're in community with me and your spirit is at peace, so then what does that say? How can I believe that it's the enemy, but you're receiving a different response? But if we are discerning properly and listening properly to the Holy Spirit, then we will be receiving the same answer. So there will be that sense of peace. So you can't rely just on your mm-hmm. your own understanding of the situation. You mm-hmm. have to be relying on other people that you're in community with who are believers to be affirming what you are going through. Because there's the Bible has references to both situations where it is the enemy and also situations where God has orchestrated a series of unfortunate events. So there's scripture to support both aspects of the question. So I don't believe that you can look at anything and say every single time this is the enemy or every single time this is God orchestrating. You have to be in right relationship with God and be constantly checking in with him and listening to what other people are saying about it. Hmm. Other people that you're in close relationship mm-hmm. with. Not just other people,
right.
but other people that you're in close relationship with.
Yeah, and I know in Proverbs it says that there's wisdom in getting advice from many counselors, mm-hmm. that you don't act in isolation or make decisions in isolation, that mm-hmm. there's benefit in gleaning mm-hmm. the insight from other people mm-hmm. and making decisions. So I can get that. I think I wrestle with a feeling. Do you know what I mean? Like whether it feels peaceful or whether I feel tense about something. Because then is my tension just actually anxiety and we're not supposed to be anxious about anything?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I feel the need for something a little bit more solid, which yeah. may come from someone else in the church family showing, you know, a scripture that says,
yes. mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just kind of reaching out and saying how I might interpret that, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Well, it wasn't there a section of scripture that someone brought it to Jesus' attention that a tower had fallen on some believers?
Yes.
In an area?
Yes.
And they said, well, why did this happen to them? Were they more sinful than other people?
Yes.
Why did this unfortunate event happen to them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that did happen in the Bible. Robbie, you might have to do your magic.
Yeah.
But there was that, but there was also the situation where, was it a paralyzed man or a man blind?
Born blind.
And they asked, was it sin?
Yeah.
Right?
Who sinned, this man or his parents?
And Jesus said, "Not neither. This is so that God may be glorified."
Yes.
Right.
And so it's a very, you ask, I think, one of the major questions that people ask all the time. How do I know God wants me to go? Mm-hmm. And how do I know God doesn't want me to go? Like, how do we know?
Yes.
And I totally agree with what Jane said. We had a situation at our church just this past weekend where we needed to make a decision, like mm-hmm. a major decision. And I just kept saying, Lord, please unify us. Please
right.
unify mm-hmm. us. And what was interesting is he totally unified us. Like, as we talked to the different people involved, it was like the same kind of answer from every single person. And I was like, wow, God, you're so good.
Mm-hmm. With such a diverse group, that's mm-hmm. really an amazing thing.
And that's important, yeah. too. When you're trying to discern, is it of God or is it the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have a diverse group that you're talking to, that people that aren't just the same like-mindedness mm-hmm. as you,
right.
but have people who think differently about God or experience mm. God differently. Like, don't just have, like, well, I'm going to talk to the intercessors. I'm going to just, intercessors, pray for me. Well, what about the person who faithfully shows up, who faithfully does their devotions, that sits in the back corner every Sunday morning, but you know they know God. They just don't interact with God the same way.
Interesting, yeah.
Right? So it's so important to have a wide spectrum of Christians because that is the body of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's everybody pulling in. And so it was interesting when we had to make this decision that and it was a wide variety of people with a wide variety of backgrounds and ages that all said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sort of came away with that going, God, you're so faithful.
Yeah.
And so you cannot make these decisions in vacuums.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it's so important to be involved in a church,
mm-hmm.
to like have a prayer partner or to have a mentor, to meet in a small group so that when you have these questions that you come up and would you pray about this or would you help me sort this out? This is what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And, you know, I go back to Rehoboam, right, where he didn't like what the older people said, so mm-hmm. he went to the younger people. And it's like, no! Like,
which was bad advice.
So be, have that circle of older and younger, more experienced, less experienced, and get the full counsel of God.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good. I think also our position within a certain context, within a certain church organization, mm-hmm. within a certain culture and a country, can affect how we interpret different circumstances mm-hmm. and who we seek for advice.
Yes.
So just kind of with that thought, we're going to pause and have a commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back to New Every Day. We have special guest Jane Roach with us, and we're jumping back into our discussion about their African adventure. Mm-hmm. And we left talking about how, well, if unfortunate events happen to certain people, does that mean that it's a sign from God that something's bad, or are they less privileged because something happens? Are they more sinful, or
yeah.
is this set up by the enemy? Like, you guys kind of shared about the decision-making process, and we did find the verse referring to the Tower of Siloam, where it's in Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him, Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that and how that might relate to your experience in Africa, typically in an underprivileged area compared to the West.
And you ask such a good question, because you read this and you think, well, because that bad thing happened to them, does that mean they were sinful?
Mm-hmm.
And we have this perception in the West that Africa needs our help, that South America needs our help, that all these third world countries, nations need our help. We are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just get in there and bring our money and our expertise, mm-hmm. you know, teach them how to do things right, teach them how to do finances, teach them how to do, you know, how to do agriculture and education and how to do this, everything will be just fine, because
right.
we know,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's very easy to go in with that kind of better than you attitude, like we've got it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that you get there and they're doing church, they're doing family, they're doing life.
Mm-hmm.
People are laughing and enjoying life together. Their culture is so rich and vibrant. And there is, it was so, I want to say, mind-blowing. Because we're like, okay, we're going to go in and figure out how we can help And we came away with going, okay, so, wow, they actually know how to take care of family.
Mm-hmm.
They actually know how to do church.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even better.
Maybe even mm-hmm. better. And so it really, so in the areas that we thought we could help,
mm-hmm.
God is like, that's not why I called you to do, to go and change what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to figure out some other, I want you to trust me in how you're to help. Rather than, oh, we could go and teach discipleship or evangelism. Well, Superintendent Ahmed
mm-hmm.
wants to, 30 church planters he wants to train in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
30? 30?
And he has a program for it.
So we're mm-hmm. like, oh, maybe we can have discipleship. Yeah. And he's like, well, actually,
yeah.
Bible League does this, this, yeah. this, and this, this,
oh,
and this.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
when we talk about family, I don't remember his name, but the pig farmer?
Yes. We can't remember his name.
We can't remember his name, but what we can tell you about the pig farmer is he has 15 adopted children, and that pig farm is sustaining that whole family. So that's how they do family.
Whoa.
When we think about Ahmed, he has 6 children, 3 that were born of his wife, and 3 that he has brought into his family to raise as his own. So when we think about family, that's how they do family.
Yes.
There are lots of evidences of that. Those are just 2 examples, but it is very common that they do a good job at family.
Right. Yes, and mm-hmm. that's just interesting. And Superintendent Ahmed does this wonderful job of mentoring
mm-hmm.
and pouring his life into the lives of young mm-hmm. men and women. And you sort of just step back and go, okay, God, maybe I'm here because of what they can be teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's when we talk about a privileged position, you know, we can say, oh, but we were born in Canada and it's just so much better than Africa. And all Africans should want to be Canadian or mm-hmm. American. And what's interesting, I just finished reading this book called The Number One Ladies Detective Agency.
Okay.
It's specifically about a woman detective in Botswana.
Oh.
And so it's very interesting.
Interesting.
And so it's African. It's written, I believe, by an African. But what she says is, she's like, I have no desire to be American, because in their perception, that's, you know, mm-hmm. the West. So she has no
right.
desire to be Canadian or American. She wants to be African, and she's happy to be African.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there, and we're watching this very rich culture, and I even had a conversation with a woman today who said, I'm from Africa. Like, I dance. Like, we're born to dance. And I'm thinking, I was not born to dance.
She did not dance.
Oh, yeah. The two-step. Here we go.
Side to side. And don't ask me to, like,
move her shoulders.
And yet, I'm watching them, and the, like, community
mm-hmm.
yeah.
around the stew pot,
mm-hmm.
like, we noticed that, like, when they made meals for us, it was community.
Mm-hmm.
There they are around the pot, working together,
mm-hmm.
cleaning together, cooking together, talking together,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I think we go over there going, okay, like, what can we do to help? And we have all this money, and the money was a blessing,
mm-hmm.
no doubt. But what we learned from them about community and generosity
mm-hmm.
and family,
yeah.
like, went right into our innermost being going, okay, maybe I need to think differently,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
You know, being Canadian, being privileged isn't, you know, it really is a mindset or a heart set, right? I remember going to Vietnam and seeing this little boy, you know, on the back of a water buffalo and just, or on his bike, and he seemed happy and content. And in my head, I'm like, oh, he doesn't have shoes, he doesn't have a shirt, he doesn't,
right.
And he was happy.
So in that sense, how do you think what we value shapes what we invest in? Like,
okay.
Jane, you work in investment all the time, don't you?
I
Tane works at one of our.
I'm
our
a financial
banks.
Advisor with a major bank in Canada, and you know, the Bible talks about where you store your treasures. And so when what we value, I believe, just generally speaking in North America, what we value is much more temporal.
Okay.
We value financial security,
right,
for example, more than we value relationship. Yes. And I don't
that
think
is
I'm
so true.
I don't think I'm generalizing.
I think you are.
You know, the clients that I see and the concern they have so often is over finances and having enough, and do I have enough, and what do I need to do to have enough, and it's all
to
about
be secure.
And even you know statements like, well, I've worked X number of years and now I'm going to retire and the rest of my life is for me. So it's very much a me focused culture that we live in. We are very inward focused.
Yes.
And we had commented on that when we were in Ghana, that what we were giving financially was from our overflow.
Yes.
It didn't cost us anything to give what we gave. Mm-hmm. So it has really made me think, do I really have a good understanding of giving with cost, where it's going to cost me? Because when I think about tithing, like God has, I still have enough.
Right.
So does that mean I should be tithing more? I should be increasing my tithe? Like, should I be giving with cost? Because do I really know what it means to give with a cost? And I don't think I do. Like, I truly don't think I do.
Yeah. So I think we're going to push pause here again. You're like, they're doing it again. But we do want you to think about, over the next week, what are our values as North Americans? What are your values? As a believer, maybe you're watching the show and you haven't met Jesus yet. You aren't following him as Lord and Savior. So what is it that you value? And next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the things that we saw our African friends value and how they seem so completely different to ours. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. Yes, lots to think about. Even now I'm already thinking about so many questions and so many encounters I've had with similar topics that we've already discussed. So let's just close in prayer together. Mm-hmm. I'll pray and then we'll sign off. Lord, thank you so much for the privileged position that we have in Christ. That we are all one family, and that you're our Father, you're our Dad, and that your grace has covered our sin. And we can come to you no matter which country we live in, no matter how much money we have, no matter what we've done in our past. And you can give us a new beginning. And I thank you for that. Lord, would you help us this week to have eyes and ears open for what you would teach us about how to love you and to love others more than this world. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we sure look forward to continuing this discussion next week with Jane and Jen. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you.